Good day, everyone. This is Liz Gaster from the... Oh, you need to turn off your... It's okay. Again, this is Liz Gaster from the ICANN policy staff. We're in Dakar today, just starting off the Who is Inventory Survey Working Group meeting. You may start the recording, please. I'll do that other intro.
Please go ahead, the recording starts.
Again, this is Liz Gaster with the ICANN policy staff. We're just beginning the Who is Survey Working Group meeting in Dakar. Do we have anyone on the line, please? From remote participation? Okay. We'll take the role of who's in the room, I think, starting there, if you wouldn't mind.
Morning, this is Francisco Arias, ICANN staff.
Steve Shang, ICANN staff.
Barry Cobb, ICANN staff.
Don Blumenthal, Public Interest Registry.
Liz Gaster, ICANN staff.
Michael Young, Arcatelos. All right, thank you very much, Liz. So, as we open the meeting, the first thing I'm going to suggest we do is, since we only have two people from the actual working group, volunteers from the working group, myself and Don, we're going to throw the agenda out the window and make a new one up. so let's mostly make it an open discussion forum. And Liz, I'm going to reiterate some of the conversation we had prior to opening the meeting, which was I'm going to take an action item to go around to the volunteers, particularly the sub-chairs. Don, I know, had some family issues that tied him up the last few weeks, and it's a terrible shame, but thank you, Don, for coming back to the fold and putting the effort in going forward. But we seem to have a problem at this point in the time in the industry with people being extremely busy with the changes that are going on right now. So I'm going to do a health check on people's ability to commit time to the group. And whereas Liz and I had talked about the work items that we've agreed to still being perfectly valid, we may see if we can restructure the way that we're going to accomplish the work in respect of people's ability to volunteer time. So that will be that's a task I am on me to go ahead and work my way through the group, phone some of the volunteers, and see if we need to restructure that. Does everyone agree with that?
Sorry for being a bit late. Wendy Seltzer, I'm sorry to join you a few minutes late.
Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you.
Oh, we got Wilson online. Hi, Wilson. Don, you were about to say something, I think?
Well, just, I agreed when we were talking about it that... given the level of participation, it's worth polling, revisiting our work structure, whatever we need to do to get things kick-started, yeah.
Great. Just to reiterate, the structure that we did with the sub-chairs and the groups, for the record, it was designed because when we had our first couple of meetings, we seemed to have a large number of volunteers and quite a number of people comparatively to some groups are willing to take some leadership positions. That's why we broke into three subgroups to parallelize the work a little bit. I think we won't try and touch the actual work items themselves, just the structure of how we accomplish them. Don, do you have, or Wendy or anyone else, Barry, does anyone have any comments on if we look at those three areas of work, what priority? If we were to serialize them, how you would approach them?
Well, I think the structure is good. Those three working groups make complete sense. It would be too bad to have to serialize because I think there's a lot of give and take that would help the process as things go along. If we had to, I'm not sure about the order. It might be worthwhile, and I hate to do this to myself, to jump in first to at least get a good track on what other activities are going on, what other people view as the more general interest before we burrow down into developing the details.
Okay. Maybe a bit of a split between parallelization and serialization might work too. Maybe what we could do, and Liz and other staff members, because you guys have organized so many of these meetings, I'd love your feedback. But we talked about doing co-chair meetings. They're separate, independent working group meetings, you know, 1 week, and then a co-chair meeting to stay coordinated every second week. Maybe what we should do, and we did that on the basis of people saying they could handle, you know, meeting every second week in terms of their time commitments. Maybe what we should do is just a meeting every second week, extend it to be, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours, and walk through, dedicate a segment to each subgroup at that time. Allow the, you know, ask everyone to come to the call, including all the members of the subgroups, not just the chairs. And what do you think?
I think that adds a level of predictability that people can schedule rather than trying to, you know, the vice chairs having to sort of schedule their own meetings with their subgroups with, you know, the staff's assistance. It might help. Yeah.
Can, you know, in all honesty, too, if people can't make the entire 2-hour meeting, then what they can do is they can log in for the section that they're producing some work on, too, right? Okay, so why don't we try that? Why don't we, you know, put out an email, Liz, to the list, explain we're going to try that structure as a starting point. I'll also go around and make some calls to the volunteers in the group and see if they have any ideas and see if that will work for their time commitment. I'll ask people to be honest, too, if things have changed for them with the industry changes and they feel they can't put much time to the group. You know, I'll ask them to clarify that because I'd rather just say, you know, if they can't do anything for the next 3 months, let us know, and then we'll have to make plans around that. So, Don, I don't know, or Wilson, if either one of you did get any forward meeting progress with your subgroup members.
I didn't have any follow-up. I didn't have any response when I tried to follow up. No, I have not had a chance to speak to the new member, just because we're both running in different directions the last couple of days, but I hope to catch up with Avery in person. And get her thoughts.
Thanks. Wilson, did you have any chance to meet with members of your group?
No, we haven't had a subgroup meeting, but I've been doing background work myself on regarding the survey, especially the survey tools and how to, and the data analysis afterwards. I used SurveyMonkey and SurveyGizmo to see how we can, if we can actually use the data expressions there. Using SPS, the service pieces on my laptop, and I've been doing that, and what the results are okay, and I stop and I see if we should be able to use those tools. So I can communicate to them with even the sample.
Excuse me, Wilson. We're having a lot of trouble hearing you, and I just wonder if you have your computer muted if you're speaking into the phone line. Sometimes if you're watching the Adobe Connect and you haven't muted the sound there, it'll cause an echo. So I wonder if you could just mute the computer if it's not, and say what you just said again, please.
Okay, I've muted the computer. Sorry about that. Okay, I was saying that I would meet with the subgroup members, but I was doing the survey, I was filling out the surveys myself. I went to survey Gizmo, filled and survey Mark also, filled in the, did some sample surveys, and especially the data back in SPSS and Excel, and I was able to get some meaningful results, meaning that we can actually use those tools to for the survey. But what I'm not committed that to the subgroup, but we can. For me, it's good news, and I'll be doing that in due course, and also giving them a sample of what I produced and the analysis of, and part of the analysis I did. Then regarding the
Wilson,
what stakeholders reach to
Wilson, I'm sorry, your voice is clipping really heavily on our end, and we just can't make out what you're saying. So perhaps you could type into the Adobe Connect a couple of quick. Bullet points.
Okay. Let me take them very quickly.
Okay. Thank you. We'll keep the conversation going while you type those in. When you're done, just let us know, and then we can react to it.
Okay,
sorry
sure.
about that. I guess it's a bit of a low bandwidth issue.
Okay. It's okay.
So, I mean, I might as well, Wilson's typing in his update. I might as well just open it up and see if anyone has any new items or anything they want to discuss. Bueller, anyone? Bueller? Okay, so... On that note, I had I'll share with the group. I had a nice conversation with Kathy Kleiman yesterday. After she spent many hours, I guess, in who is policy review, and Liz and I were talking about that just before the meeting a little bit. Kathy's, I think, interested in following what we're doing, and maybe we get a few people from that end of things following what we're doing. One of the interesting things that in the conversation I had with Kathy was that, you know, trying to have her understand that we're talking about basically functional capability of who is here and requirements, not and very carefully trying to avoid, any opinion or judgment of policy. And by that I mean whether or not the functionality basically at the end of the day is turned on and off, on or off in a particular who is service implementation. Because if we tie this functionality or requirements to, you know, that policy discussion in that regard, you know, any lack of consensus on the policy side could stop us from introducing potentially functionality or requirements or identifying requirements, which is kind of why I think, and I'd be interested in people's opinion, but in my opinion, that's why we don't have a newer iteration of who is standard today, is because we kind of thought, I think the industry and the groups involved kind of thought that we could solve the policy and the technical functionality kind of all at once. And really, they're kind of two issues, two things. Liz?
That's something, it's Liz, that I've struggled with conceptually, and I understand, I guess, why others have too, and because I think it's hard for perhaps less technical people to discern always which is which and what has the underlying functional capability from certain policy decisions. So one of the things that might be useful for those of you who are more comfortable or expert differentiating and is to, especially when we start to think about the questions, the first subgroup, start to actually think about questions that would make that clearer for people, or examples of, a phraseology of a survey question that goes to the functionality versus the policy decision making, so that it becomes a little clearer to those who are concerned about the policy bleed over, that it's possible to sort of construct a survey without addressing those, or forcing those issues.
I think that's a really good feedback. So, you know, favorite terms of mine to help people kind of differentiate is you lead off from requirements and you start to ask questions about functionality, capabilities, configurability, which leads people to realize that what we're asking with these kind of questions is what choices do you feel you need available to you? Not whether or not you what you actually choose, but really what choices do you want to be able to have available to you? And, you know, when you look at who is as a system, you know, there's a couple of areas where rigidity, I guess, or consensus is creates a great deal of positive results for people. So, for example, data output structure and kind of protocol-related issues are ones where we'd really like to have consistency because it makes it, you know, more cost-effective for service providers. It makes it easier for consumers to actually draw down the information. And but what's actually in that information, you know, usually ties back to policy, right? And whether or not you, how much of that information out of the registry systems do you make available through WHOIS is also a policy decision. A technical decision is, you know, can I turn on and off each field, right? Can each data element, can I create a capability in this system to differentiate between people querying a WHOIS system, for example, would be functionality. So, you know, the WHOIS access, right? Do I have three different, five, ten different types of WHOIS users defined? Or do I leave a framework that says I could have 100 if that was the use case, and the system's capable of configuring all those and outputting a different degree of WHOIS information for each user class. So that's all functionality. Go ahead, Wendy.
This is Wendy, and I'm wondering whether part of the reason it's difficult to get people to separate those is because some of the functional choices impact the policy decisions that can be made later. And so if you make the display possibilities more granular, you open up options that some people may favor as a policy matter and other people may disfavor. And so some use one fight as a proxy for the other or just as a stalling on the entire discussion. And I don't, unfortunately, have a way to address that, but except for the continual emphasis that we are not making the policy decisions about what choices would be made on any of those levels. We're not even at this point choosing among the technical options, but putting them on the table and trying to describe them more clearly.
I think that's really well phrased, and you know, I would agree with that fully. The other on the other side of the coin, the people doing the technical work, and I'm going to talk about, you know, kind of my subculture a little bit for a second, and that is, you know, we like our work well-defined so that we can define our own success criteria, you know, and when you do test cases, you know what the results are supposed to look like. So too much functionality defined all at once, too much configurability and granularity can become confusing as well. So you'll see, when you kind of look at the history of work around this in the IETF, you'll often see the first thing that happens, and what's happening in the related weirds list right now is an effort by the technologists to narrow the requirements down to stuff that they can get done. And even if it's sometimes just an effort to stage the work, you know, give us the first three things, we'll solve that, and then we'll look at the next five things. Unfortunately, sometimes that, I think, is what creates some of the constraints for people that want to configure a system one way to address their view of the policy considerations. And the technologists have not, you know, in their first iteration of something or even their second or third iteration have not introduced enough functionality for, you know, somebody with a policy vision to articulate that vision physically in the system. So, you know, the part of our survey questions, I think, is try to grasp what the prioritization and the functionality is. You know, we have a few things in the industry right now that are painful, you know, very obvious to us, like, you know, the inconsistency in the data output is the big one that we've struggled with for years. But now that's, you know, exacerbated by the fact that we have IDNs to consider. We have IDN registries to consider. It's not just enough to express the domain name in characters, but the relay of contact information, because the entire population that's that registry is orientated to could be using that native language that registry is focused on, right? And to that matter, there's a lot of existing agencies, particularly law agencies, legal agencies, and individuals that are concerned that they're going to be able to read the output from WHOIS, because they're used to conducting business around the internet in English, because that's the way the systems have been configured. So, you know, you right away you end up with a requirement there that comes to mind that says, oh, well, I probably need WHOIS output that's multiple languages at the very least, or has that capability. Whether or not you decide to use the capability, again, is the policy question.
It's Liz. I mean, I think the challenge is also for the survey takers. Like, we've spent a lot of time talking about this, and we might generally think we know what we mean now with differentiating. But in terms of phrasing the survey so that a survey taker, who could be anyone, you know, close to this debate or further away from this debate, understands that they're being asked about technical functionality versus what policy features they want to see, I think is difficult to convey, perhaps, and that there's the potential for survey takers to think that they're being asked to weigh in on the policy decisions rather than being asked to weigh in on the technical functionality, and that that could create results that aren't as meaningful as they otherwise could be.
Well, it could drag us into debates, you know, and stop forward progress. Okay, well, let's go to Wilson since he's got his comments in.
First of all, Wilson, thank you very much. Wilson has put his comment into the chat because we've had a little bit of technical difficulty, and I'd like to read that now. He says, we haven't met as a subgroup, but I did some work regarding the surveys. I reviewed SurveyMonkey, SurveyGizmo, and Google. I was to export the results to SPSS from my laptop, and also some analysis, which is good news, meaning we can use those tools. I used sample questions. I will email the sample report. Sorry, one sec, I'm just scrolling. And analysis of the questions in due course. The survey, I haven't done that yet, but we'll contact Aubrey as she seems to have a lot of knowledge and experience in this field, especially the people who will actually give us valuable feedback. Thank you.
Wilson, that's great. Thank you. That's a good step forward. So, you know, I think this is a really interesting discussion. Steve, it looked like you were going to push your mic button there for a second, did you? Okay. So that's a pass. Yeah, I mean, at the same time, you know, going back to what Wendy and Liz was saying, you know, we do want to ask policy. What we want is if someone has a policy consideration, we would really like to see them translate their policy vision into functionality, what they think they need to accomplish. And then we're not going to debate the functionality per se. We just want them to articulate what functionality they think would give them a choice. You know, that allows us to build a system that ultimately, you know, once the policy decision is arrived at amongst those stakeholders, it's just a matter of configuring the system to address the decision rather than build the system from scratch at that point.
And I think the thing we'll have to be careful of there, though, is more approaching it in the affirmative. Look for what do you want, because I can see the policy overlap or proxy, which I think is a real good way to put it, weighing in on, no, there shouldn't be this capability, but not for technical reasons, for other ones.
Well, and that goes back to, I think, what was being said before, what Wendy mentioned, right, is, you know, the potential for, I mean, let's be blunt here, potential for people to try and obstruct functionality in the view that it might also obstruct policy that they don't agree with, right? And, you know, we're all growing up here, I'll be realistic, that sometimes that happens in, you know, circles where decisions are being made. We just have to be careful that, you know, that we're not enabling that type of choice in this group as best we can.
This is Barry. So, you know, definitely way behind the curve with respect to everybody here and trying to catch up in all the who is buckets that exist out there. I definitely believe it's going to be a challenge to separate the two, policy versus technical, in the surveys. Somehow we'll have to tee it up in a way that this is definitely nothing to do with policy whatsoever. But when I think about some of the questions, I still somehow envision that somehow policy is going to leak into those or to set those questions up in a framework that they can understand. But really my question is, in the history of who is and all of the activities that have gone on, has there ever been a survey just solely on the policy of the community? And I kind of take us back to the survey we did in Pedner. You know, that it turned out very useful for what we were trying to accomplish, and we got really great community feedback about that kind of stuff. So, has that kind of survey been done in the community just strictly from a policy perspective? And I don't really mean to introduce this into this technical discussion, but I'm just for my own benefit.
Well, there's a huge history to it, actually. There's been a number of different efforts to gather information on who is. Maybe Liz can do a, or Steve or somebody can do a recap on that.
So there are different surveys that's done in the past, as far back as 5 to 7 years ago. There's the who is team that look at, you know, the purpose of the data. There's a team that look at the, you know, the kind of beginning to look at the purpose of the protocol, you know, what they want to be in the data. Those are in, I think, 2003, 2004 survey. It's on the Whois page. When we did the Whois requirement report, we take those survey input and saying, okay, if we were to implement this, what capabilities needs to be there? So, and that's that. Some of those surveys forms the basis of this report.
So I'll open up one more time to the floor, and then if we don't have anything else, we might as well wrap up. And I'll follow up on my action item to describe the way we're going to restructure the meetings going forward to the list. And Liz, I guess we can work with staff to get them scheduled in regularly. Don, you look like you're about to push the microphone.
Yeah. The other thing that might be worthwhile doing, and I know we all have a feel for the different efforts, we just try to sit back and figure out what all the different ICANN, non-ICANN, whatever efforts are going on concerning who is, to try to see if we can, well, if nothing else, be aware, but see if there's even any way to swap ideas and resources.
Thanks for volunteering for doing that, Don. yeah, no, but in all, I'm kidding, but at the same time, I guess I would have, you know, I think that totally falls within the scope of work we kind of talked about with your subgroup. So, yeah, that'd be great if you could look at that.
Okay, I think I've got a pretty good handle, but I'll ask around to make sure.
Thanks, Don.
With regard to the efforts, I think there's the so one of the IRD working group, in the IETF there's this weird list. There's this Thikuis issues report. There are a couple of other things I can think of, and I can help to. We can talk afterwards and give those lists to you too.
Is there anyone else online, Liz?
There are people online, but there seem to be no other questions or comments. But if anyone would like to ask a question or make a comment, this is a small attended meeting. We're just having kind of a casual conversation of the working group itself on next steps. So there are a couple others, too, who've joined us in the room. So if any of you would like to make any comments about the work we're doing or ask any questions, now would be a good time. In the absence of discussion, I think we may close the meeting early.
Absolutely. Let's go.
Okay. I want to thank everyone for your participation and attendance in this meeting, and this concludes our session. Thank you.